But you know, we're losing Paul. Did you know that he's gone?
We're going to call the March 1st Transportation Budget and Policy Division, Transit Subdivision Committee hearing to order. We're going to try to move through this hearing swiftly. There are concerns, I understand, about something that's happening outside this building. Yeah. I haven't been out there, so I don't know what's going on. They never let us out during the day. But I'm given to believe that there's a weather situation. So we're going to try to get through this because folks, I think, want to get on the road or on their train or on their bus and get home. So welcome to the committee. We have 7 bills, 3 of which are mine, so I will commit to moving through those very quickly towards the end of the agenda. We are going to start off with Senate File 658, Senator Saltzman. Washington County I-94 Corridor Transportation and Transit Improvements Bond Issue and Appropriation. Welcome, Senator Saltzman.
Yes, and thank you very much. I am here today to introduce Senate File 658. And for those of you who have walked through the rotunda, you have heard all this energy and excitement, and I just want to say that could be Washington County and their enthusiasm
all right.
for transit and transportation. So I just want to note that. We left everybody else at home because they're all plowing the roads. I would like to just start out with a map that you have in your packets. It's a map that was presented to this committee. We've seen it several times. It talks about the 2030 transitway systems on dedicated right-of-ways. And when you look at this map, the one thing that came to my mind right away is there's a very large gap or hole in the East Metropolitan area. And that's something that I am concerned about, as there is such enthusiasm for transportation and transit. The East Metro area may be a little bit behind some of our neighbors to the west, north, and south, but we truly want to be at the table when it comes to being part of the development of and improvements in transportation and transit systems. We feel now that there is a backlog of projects, and we'd like to change that. So the first step in all of this in getting into the pipeline is really doing the pre-design work and also the analysis. This all really came together fairly quickly. In January, I asked a number of our elected officials, our mayors and our county commissioners, and also some of our staff from our local units of government involved with transportation, and basically asked, what's the deal out here? Are you not interested in this? And they said, we are so excited, but we need to come together as a group and have some leadership to make this happen. And so what you're going to be hearing today is something that's really come together in the last 8 weeks. And there's great excitement. And so at this point, I have a number of different people here to testify who know that we're on a timeline, but we do want to give you a good overview of this project. I want to start with Mike Rogers, who is a transportation planner for Washington County. Gary Kriesel is probably stuck in traffic. He's from Washington County, the board chair. And Clint Gridley is here from the city of Woodbury. Jim McDonough, who is a Ramsey County Commissioner, and then Dean Johnston, who is the Lake Elmo Mayor. We also have someone here from the City of St. Paul, because this is really about a much larger plan about the East Metro area and being one of the hub or a line that really pulls together the whole East Metro area from the St. Croix River into downtown St. Paul and the Union Depot. So at this time, Mr. Rogers.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the committee, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members, I think it's important first to kind of know that...
Please introduce yourself for the tape. Thanks.
Mike Rogers, transportation planner for Washington County.
Thank you.
I think it's important to kind of think about, we've heard from the Met Council that the region's growing by over 1 million people through the coming decades, and that the growth is going to be spread throughout the region. The East Metro is going to get its fair share of that growth. And we need to make sure we accommodate that growth and make sure that our population still maintains its mobility. Interstate 94 is going to take a lot of that burden to maintain that mobility. And kind of just some thoughts right now. A lot of times when you talk about the East Metro, it gets lost with West Metro. We hear so many things about how much traffic's on the West Metro. But Kind of an interesting point of comparison, Interstate 94 at the St. Croix River has about 82,000 vehicles a day on it, and that compares to Interstate 94 in Rogers. Interstate 94 at the 494-694 interchange in Woodbury has about 105,000 cars on it, and that compares to 494 and 694 at 94, kind of the Fish Lake interchange. A lot of people talk about that in Maple Grove. So they're right up there. And kind of another one, I-94 at 35E right here in downtown St. Paul has traffic levels comparable to I-35W just north of the Crosstown freeway in Minneapolis. So it's no longer the same that the East Metro doesn't have the traffic that the West Metro does. The East Metro does, and as part of that, we need to make sure we move along and start to maintain mobility. So going along those lines, that's where this request came from for the $1 million to do a study with two phases, really an interregional corridor study. I-94 from 694 to the St. Croix River is an interregional corridor as identified by MnDOT, so we need to look at how to maintain mobility in that corridor over the next 30 years, what improvements are necessary from a highway standpoint. And then we also need to look at a transit feasibility analysis, because we know that while there's highway improvements out there, there's also transit improvements that are needed. And that would look to say, between now and 2030, what do we need to do on a transit end? Is it just buses? Is it something like a light rail extension from downtown St. Paul out, kind of an extension of the central corridor? Is commuter rail an option? So mainly just look at what else is out there to maintain the mobility of the East Metro. So I guess those are the main things of what we're looking for to do with this. And this study would take approximately 12 to 18 months to complete once we got it started. So,
Mr. Rogers, you mentioned two phases of a study. Is there presently a study going on I-94? Did I miss that
on
the highway itself?
Sorry, Mr. Chair, Committee Members, there's not currently a study going on I-94. It's really looked at as a broader transportation study. Typically when we come in on a corridor, it's a transit study or it's a highway study. What we're looking for is to get everything wrapped up into one larger study so that we're going to know what the highway improvements need to be and what the transit improvements need to be, because it's a transportation system and one is not independent of the other. So that's what we're really looking at going forward here, since there hasn't been a study highway-wise on 94 like some of the other corridors have had.
Right. Well, that's encouraging. I've often spoken about how we seem to disconnect the two from each other, and we also, MnDOT is well aware that I don't believe that we solely respond to demand that's imagined out there, but you know, we create the desired future for our communities based on the transportation decisions that we make. So, going back to my original question, you said something about two phases, one being highway, one being transit. Are you saying there's not two phases, going to be wrapped into one overall study?
Yes, Mr. Chair, one larger study that would have two essential components that would go along.
Okay, two components. Okay, phases make me think that they're separate and you're looking at the issue separately. So two components, same study. That's great. That makes me happy. Senator Saltzman, are you finished, Mr. Rogers?
Yes, I'm finished.
Okay, Senator Saltzman.
Yes, I would now like to introduce Clint Girdley, who is the city administrator for Woodbury, and he was just here the other day speaking about property taxes.
Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Clint Girdley, city administrator for the city of Woodbury. You can tell how much we want this bill to pass by driving through a lot of slush and muck to get here to you today.
Appreciate your presence.
The I-94 corridor is a critical east-west route for commerce and commuters for Woodbury. As Woodbury has grown from 10,000 in 1980 to 58,000 today, the use of this interstate is even more important today. The last 3 years, the City of Woodbury has been requesting to have a corridor study from Ramsey County to St. Croix County. However, because of the funding situation and the other demands on the transportation funding, we've been not able to achieve that. What we're asking for is to take a look at not only just the I-94 corridor as a transportation route, but also as a transit route. And we, as Senator Saltzman said, has been dismayed that the Met Council's transit plan did not include any sort of transit route on the east side along I-94. We believe this is a critical linkage that needs to be evaluated. Traffic on the east side and into Wisconsin continues to grow in a bottleneck at Woodbury. We ask your support for the I-94 feasibility analysis And the City Council has passed a resolution in full support of this, and that resolution was unanimously passed by the Council, and hopefully that is part of your packet materials that you have. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have concerning the City of Woodbury's position.
Any questions for Mr. Gridley? I don't think we have that resolution. So, in our packet, at least. I don't know if it's in a stack to be handed out.
So, Mr. Chair,
Senator
I believe
Saltzman.
That we have another packet that has resolutions from all of the communities along I-94 for this. So we may be bringing that to the next hearing for this bill.
Okay, great. We'll take it on faith. All right. Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair, I'm wondering why that we're doing it in this way in terms of stipulating that that we would appropriate this money from a bond sale. I know that in the bill that I carried, that was left open. Can you advise me why we would say that this is where the money would be coming from?
Senator Bonhoeff, I cannot.
Okay.
That's a determination that Senator Saltzman made, I think, in consultation with the committee chair. I never quite know what the wisdom is of using cash versus bonds. I do know that we're going to hear a number of these. Some are bonds, some are cash, or one is cash. And I do know that there is a thought about unifying somehow, figuring out how to get our arms around all these studies that are proceeding. We'll take
Chairman.
Senator Saltzman, then Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, you just summarized where this has come from, is that I talked with the chair of transportation, and that was his advice at the time. But I think that trying to have a more global picture of how we approach these studies, because this is so key to being in the pipeline. And if we're not able to complete this study fairly quickly as we start to make these investments, we don't have any idea of what our needs are in the East Metro area on this very, very important critical corridor. And as Mr. Gridley said, you know, this isn't just about moving people. It's about economic development. Along 94 between Lake Elmo and Woodbury is one of the remaining and very large parcels of undeveloped land. So when we look to Minnesota, we look and we hear in our Business, Industry, and Jobs Committee about all of the potential with development in our state. This is a major piece of land on a major corridor, but there's no transit and no transportation improvement. So I hope we look at it in that way as well.
Follow-up, Senator Urbano.
Yeah, Mr. Chair and Senator Saltzman, I completely support your bill. I was just really questioning the procedure and the process. So.
Thank you.
Senator
Olson. Appreciate that.
Mr. Chairman, I hope seeing that we have a number of studies like this, I would like to hear from MnDOT and Metro Transit in terms of what is the general way in which needs get on the radar for study. Do they normally do it? Is it? I haven't been on transportation for quite a number of years to know if this is the practice of we want to get the attention. Does this money? Does it come out of the Highway User Trust Fund? Does it come out of the, or will could it come out of, if it's transit, out of the transit MVEST dedication, or how does that work? So
Sure.
I would presume that we'd have to have some principles that would start to apply, and how that then gets on the roster, if you will, for the for when projects are done.
Right. I'll take a stab at it, and then after we have our testifiers finish their presentation, we'll pull the agencies up. But I don't know that there have been general principles when they've been initiated by communities and legislators necessarily, other than, by hook or by crook, getting these studies in typically into the bonding bill. And sometimes they are paid for with cash, and the study gets done, and then, the process, the political process of trying to create the will around a particular corridor then gets underway. It's actually, frankly, a critique I have of our funding system in general. It's, we have a formula that kind of distributes money to build highways everywhere, but when we're talking about transitways, we have to create this huge political thing to just get attention to one corridor where, it seems rather apparent to everyone that it should be being studied for transit purposes anyways. And if we were putting money aside on a logical, regular, methodical basis, we could do that. And that's That's my, you know, speech that I give all the time, though. You've heard it before. Senator Saltzman, though.
Chairman, why don't we give you a chance to do it again.
Yes. why don't we hear from your remaining testifier, Senator Saltzman?
Yes, we can just go in this order. Is Dean Johnston, who is the mayor of Lake Elmo. And then we have someone here from Ramsey County on their board and someone from the city of St. Paul. So maybe you could just go and introduce yourself as we proceed.
Great. Welcome.
Honorable Chair and committee members, my name is Dean Johnston. I'm the mayor of the city of Lake Elmo. You probably are aware that the city of Lake Elmo has just committed to tripling in size over the next 25 years. And part of that growth is going to be a significant both regional and hopefully a statewide resource in economic development for jobs for the entire metropolitan area. The Lake Elmo City Council has unanimously endorsed a resolution supporting this study, and we respectfully ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. Jim McDonough, Ramsey County Commissioner. I represent the east side of St. Paul. The I-94 corridor pretty much splits my district right in two there. The I-94 corridor from St. Paul Union Depot to the St. Croix counties is growing in population and in employment. Think about 3M in Ramsey County. It wasn't too long ago that was really considered out in the country, and development and housing has just engulfed it. And as you've heard, every community from St. Paul all the way out to Hudson, it's the same story. And that as a result of all that, that corridor is really becoming a gridlock corridor. Ramsey County strongly supports the study of transit options for this corridor. It may be improving the bus service now, building park and rides. Long-term, possibly a central corridor, light rail extension from the Union Depot heading east. This corridor hasn't been studied. It needs to be studied now. We support the state funding request for the feasibility study for this corridor, and Ramsey County Board has also passed a resolution in support of this, so we'll make sure it gets in Senator Saltzman's packages with the resolutions to indicate so.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner McDonough.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. I believe we also have someone from the city of St. Paul.
Hold on a second. I'm sorry about that.
I think that you've heard that there's a lot of support for this. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
I note on your map and in your bill that the study actually goes into the state of Wisconsin. Is this typical for to foot the bill for this a study that actually goes across a state line?
And Mr. Chair, I
didn't quite hear your statement. Is more of the traffic on this? I think it's heavily traveled both ways, but how much of this is Wisconsin traffic coming to Minnesota, or are more of our people heading to Wisconsin for work, et cetera?
Do you know anything about that? I'm going to ask Mr. Olson, Mr. Rogers, to answer that because we do have some more sorts of information on that. But I think we can't look at this as who's driving on this road. It's our workforce. It's people coming to work in St. Paul. It's people who are our workforce. It's people where there are greater developments in the East Metro area. And I think that's a piece of this. But this is not about building roads for Wisconsin, but it is about the workforce for the East Metro area.
So, Mr. Chairman, we are Senator Saltzman, we're kind of the net gainer of people coming from Wisconsin to work in Minnesota than the other way around. I mean, that was just a curiosity on my part. I wasn't saying that in any kind of condemnation, but it's still the study for upgrade of a road outside of our state, for us to pay for that without a cooperative venture with Wisconsin seems a little odd.
And Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, I'm going to ask Mr. Rogers, because I believe that work actually has been done already, but it would be part of the larger study. Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, the highway study would not go past the St. Croix River. It doesn't need to. Wisconsin's already completed a highway study from the St. Croix River to the eastern edge of St. Croix County, so they know on their end what they have to do. On the transit end, we're looking more at a market area, a travel shed, and we've got within the Metropolitan Council regional model these collar counties incorporated into that model. So as we look where people are coming from and going to, you can start to say that maybe in the first phase as an extension to Woodbury, but then you add on 20, 30 years down the road as things develop further on. So, yeah, you're going to look at Wisconsin population that's coming in. I believe a rough number is about half of St. Croix County residents commute into the Twin Cities for their job. So it's quite a large number of Wisconsin people coming in, but as Senator Saltzman mentioned, it's the economic vitality of the Twin Cities region that's really helped by that, too.
So, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Olson.
Then wouldn't it in the bill on page 1, line 12, be wise to end at the border and rather than to terminate in St. Croix County, Wisconsin? If that study has been completed, it would seem that what we're funding is what we should be in Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, Rogers. The highway portion has been done, but the transit portion has not been done in Wisconsin or St. Croix County at all. So that's really where the Hudson piece came up, is that we want to make sure that it's understood that the corridor makes it to the river, and just stopping at the river kind of seemed odd, so we wanted to pick a city.
Would an alternative be to create some language, I don't know if we're able to do that now on the fly or in time for next week in full transportation, to make create some condition that for the purposes of this bill there would be some cooperation, some resource sharing with the Wisconsin jurisdiction.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if it is, you know, if mm-hmm. it's providing transit to Wisconsin residents to come to Minnesota to work, I would think that they should be a part and parcel of it, and not the whole load borne here.
Yeah, and
it's enough that, it's enough that they're coming over here and getting cheaper tuition.
I don't want to start any wars
across the border.
And frankly, I think I'm hearing again we're creating some distinction in highway versus transit and considering them separately.
On that point, Mr. Chair,
yeah.
This is for the pre-design and study. It's not for the construction of the actual. So I think there's part of it is to look at what is Wisconsin's responsibility and what is Minnesota's, but that there is this link between that particular area and to acknowledge that. But I think we absolutely can do some more work to define where the study is and where it needs to in terms
Chairman,
of
Chairman, I think that's important that we our okay. efforts be in Minnesota.
All right, great.
Thanks.
We'll hope to seize. I don't think we need to figure this out today unless council has something brilliant right now. No, okay. All right, we'll figure that out at the next stop. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I apologize that Senator Saltzman and I didn't work this out prior to committee, but we were just passing notes back and forth between each other, and I'd like to offer the A1 amendment. And members, what this does is it deletes the words downtown St. Paul in line 1.11 and inserts the Union Depot Concourse multimodal transit hub located downtown St. Paul in the area south of Kellogg Boulevard and east of Jackson Street.
All right. Senator Sieben, you're doing your work.
That's right.
All right. That's why they pay the big bucks. Senator Sieben offers the A1 amendment. Senator Saltzman.
Mr. Chair, I welcome the amendment. We love to talk about the Union Depot Concourse multimodal transit hub in the East Metro area. That is, and you know, to people who are not aware of why that's so important, it really brings all of the lines together that we'll be talking about today, I believe, and really having a real hub in St. Paul, which is just so critical to the East Metro's development. So thank you, Senator Sieben, for calling that to my attention.
All right. Committee, any questions? Senator Olson.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm not pertaining to the amendment. When that's done, I do have an.
Okay, great. Anything further on the amendment, members? All in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Amendment passes. Senator Olson.
Thank you. Just going back to the bill and that clarification, if you look at the title, you're appropriating money and authorizing bonds for transportation and transit improvements in Interstate Highway 94 corridor.
I agree.
And where it applies to terminate in St. Croix County, Wisconsin. So this is looking, the impression created here, even though this is the study part, you're laying the foundation for what appears to be the study and the improvements into the state of Wisconsin. I think that needs to be cleaned up.
Thank you, Senator Olson. And Mr. Chair, we will work on that. At the same time, I think that I would hope that there will be a sense that we need to coordinate, that we just can't stop in the middle of the bridge, but to look at how we need to develop our system to link with what potentially could be available in Wisconsin. And I think that there's interest, too, when we look at the leadership in Congress right now. There are people who represent, you know, Minnesota and Wisconsin who have been, you know, expressed interest in transit and transportation. And so what is the role of the federal government in supporting this particular corridor?
Mr. Chairman, I have no problem with even some conditional language in it if it's critical that it be in both states, then perhaps it should be contingent on that cooperative effort established across that border, so that in fact that input is coming and that commitment goes hand in hand.
Thank you.
Thank you. Point well taken. Okay, well, anything further? Senator Olson, you wanted to hear from the agencies about kind of
be fine.
How we think about these things logically. All right. I don't know if MnDOT wants to come forward. This is really not in their purview, unless they want to come forward. Otherwise, is Met Council in the room? Ms. Venowitz?
It is for highway improvement. The highway improvement would be within MnDOT.
All right. Welcome. Senator Olson, did you want to restate your question, or do you, Ms. Barker?
Maybe I'm a little confused if this is totally focused on transit. I thought it was needing an upgrading as studying the needs of the highway, the corridor and the highway as well.
Yeah,
and I just wondered if I haven't got a photographic memory to keep the map of where your targeted improvements are within MnDOT, as to how this area is faring in terms of its need in relation to others, and how you determine that, and if you in fact have done study of in terms of the highway upgrades.
Ms. Parker.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I'm Betsy Parker from MnDOT. Mr. Chairman and Senator Olson, as you know, we just did a major improvement on Trunk Highway 94 along the area where 3M is. So we are looking at I-94 in the East Metro area all the time. We don't do transit planning in that area. That is within the jurisdiction of the Metropolitan Council. And with respect to the I-94 corridor, anywhere in the metro area, I would just say that these bonds are general fund bonds issued under Article 11. They can be used for transit, but not for highway improvements. That is not permitted under the Constitution. Mm. So they could be used for rail or transit matters, but not for highway improvement work. So there probably need to be some clarification there. And I think there might be a question that maybe Council or Ms. Boyd could answer about whether bonds can be used for planning. And that's really an issue for the Department of Finance. Other than that, the jurisdiction for transit planning is with the Metropolitan Council. But as you know, we do have area transportation partnerships, and the planning agency in the metro area is the Met Council and its Transportation Advisory Board. MnDOT participates in that and in the development of plans that come up from local units to that Met Council decision-making body. So we are involved in the planning activities.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Parker. Ms. Venowitz.
Mr. Chairman, members, Amy Venowitz with the Metropolitan Council. As Ms. Parker said, the Metropolitan Council is responsible for the transit planning elements within the regional area. First, I want to be clear that we are not at all opposed to the I-94 transit study. We think that's a corridor that has been maybe a little bit neglected and is well deserving of a study. But I do want to tell you a little bit about where the council is at. You may, or hopefully, you're all familiar with our transportation policy plan. This is the plan that the council uses to set our long-range vision, and it's updated every 4 years. Currently, this plan is under schedule under federal law to be updated during 2008. This year, as part of that update, the map you've all seen of our transit ways is part of our current plan. And internally, we've been taking a look at that and realizing that we really need to start going a little bit further with our transit vision. A lot of the corridors that are identified in our current transportation policy plan for transit ways are underway, are being worked on, look like we can kind of see the end in sight. And our goal is to set more of a longer-term vision for the transit ways. So during 2007, we are going to be kicking off a major effort to update what we're calling our regional transit plan. This plan was first mandated by the legislature in 1998. It's really the original plan that set the entire direction for our transit way map that is current in our policy plan today. So during 2007, the Metropolitan Council will be doing the regional transit plan. Currently, we've identified 30 corridors, and I think we probably will be adding to that list that will be analyzed and looked at as potential transit way and where they might fit into our long-range vision. And certainly the I-94 corridor is going to be part of that analysis. So that's where we're at today. Next year, hopefully, we'll be here giving you the results of that plan and being able to give you a little bit of a priority of where the future corridors might lie. Not a 1-2-3-4 priority, but kind of a general priority of corridors that might be potential for LRT, corridors that are potential for BRT or commuter rail, and what our general priorities for those corridors will be. And then that plan will feed directly into the update of the transportation policy plan, will be adopted by the council in 2008, and again presented at the legislature. So that's where the council is at. One of the things we've been saying, because there are a number of proposals out there to do studies this year, is that we welcome all of them, but that we are doing this plan, and the results of that plan might have a little bit different priority identification than you've seen in the past. So
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
So I was trying to understand how this would mesh, because this is going to the Washington County, and it is going as far as pre-design, environmental studies, and alternatives analysis for, now, the transportation. I'm not sure if the highway isn't involved, if it is truly just transit improvements or what's involved here. But how does that overlay then? Because you're going to be doing this. We'd have this study going on with pre-design and your study going on for updating the thing at the same time. Is that how much does, what kind of investment is Met Council making in planning during that time? And to what degree do you involve the people that are the directly affected, Washington County and others, for studies of that area as well as in others in your planning process?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, the Met Council has been invited and is actively participating on the I-94, has already set up a technical advisory committee. We're participating on that. We've been in contact with the Washington County staff, and so we are well aware of what their intentions are. I think one thing I want to be clear, I think earlier you had asked what's the typical way that these projects move forward, and I would suggest there really hasn't been a typical way that these corridors get studied and move forward, but generally it is the county that takes the more detailed lead. The county regional rail authorities have really been the entities that are responsible for the detailed alternatives analysis, EIS, preliminary studies that take place on the corridor, and our planning efforts at this point in time are at the regional, more general level of setting kind of general goals and general priorities for the region.
So, Mr. Chairman, Ms. Benoit, does this, I know that that's fairly common with Hennepin County. Hennepin County has certainly been doing a myriad studies. But is this, so would you see that the county studies in this case would influence and be a resource to your planning versus an expectation that it would be the other way around?
I think they'll be a great resource for our, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, I think they'll be a great resource for the efforts that we're undertaking. And again, I apologize because our effort to kick off our transit master plan update is about a month still coming, but we are intending to have a major regional meeting, and all of the county staff will be there, hopefully some county commissioners, transit providers, generally all the people who are involved in the transit decision-making process, and we'll be our intent is to be gathering their input the entire way along our study so that the goals and the direction of our transit plan reflect where our partners are also going.
Senator Saltzman.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I just again want to go back to this map. There's another map that I saw that I didn't have a copy of, and that's the taxing district. And the East Metro is on the taxing district for Met Council for those projects. So there has been, you know, time, and as we see that the amount of traffic on this particular area is very similar to some of these areas that are farther ahead than the East Metro, I just want to, you know, note that our technical advisory group that was just referenced was something that was pulled together in the last 2 months, and they've done incredibly great work to, you know, to start to move this forward, and it's really pushing this whole initiative. So I think it really talks about, is there the political will to make this happen? And when local people come together and say, there's a void in leadership here. The Met Council does not seem to be recognizing us. Now, there are some wonderful park and rides that have been developed. As soon as they are built, they're overflowing. There is a will to have transit and transportation improvements, but it's coming from the local level. And I think that, you know, I just want to commend Washington County. I am so impressed with the work that the staff have done. They seem to be actually excited about this, and they're really running with it. And so we just ask for the support of the legislature to like to provide the resources, because we need to be in line for this and rather quickly.
Well, I think
Chair, can I just follow up to that? I think I think that we would hope that things would come from the local level rather than having things imposed upon us.
Right. So, absolutely.
I think that is the best way.
I do think this line of inquiry and some of the testimony provided does hit on one of my major themes, which is we've kind of got an artificial divide here between highways and transit and planning and, you know, who's doing what, and they're not taking each other's the fact that there is even each other, you know, it's a travel shed. It's, you know, and it's an economic development whole, and it's a community whole. And to distinguish between MnDOT and Metro Transit, and we don't consider transit when we're doing our highway planning. And it's a divide. It's a distinction without a difference. And when we do make those distinctions, we don't make the best overall public policy decisions in the interest of the public and the interests of our community and economic development goals, our environmental interests, and the like. And we have got to get our arms around how we're doing this sort of planning. And what we've got is, you know, major infrastructure investments working at cross purposes to each other, working at cross purposes to our larger public policy goals. And the tail, frankly, begins to wag the dog. And so I just put that out there as a larger statement of how we think about transportation, particularly in the metropolitan area.
So it's another question, anything, Mr. Chair.
Senator Saltzman.
You know, based on the comments about the bonding money being used, is there a need to perhaps change this to, instead of the bond proceeds, to make sure that includes both the transportation and transit studies and pre-design work, that should be changed? I guess refer to council on that.
I'll have to defer to council, although I do know, Senator Saltzman, we have done transportation planning and transit planning in the bonding bill, and I mean, that has been done. I think there's some finer, you know, there's some language of art that makes that possible, but I'll defer to council if there's any wisdom. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chair and Senator Saltzman, is your concern that we're talking about general obligation bonds, or that using bonding at all?
Mr. Chair and Ms. Brzezowski, I'm looking at what is the best way to move this forward so that this study is eligible for funding, that something does not
prevent it from being funded because of how it's of its request for dollars.
Mr. Chair and Senator Saltzman, I think we've had some conversation about this. I mean, typically a peer study is would be financed. A peer study of this type would be financed with a straight general fund appropriation.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, is it possible to work on this language prior? Because I think there's some some other work to be done in terms of the extent of the study to be able to work on that before it's moved forward to the Transportation Committee next week, if it's going there.
Right. Senator Saltzman, there are a number of studies. Some are, like I said before, are calling for bonding. Some are calling for cash. Even if everything was tied up in a nice bow, we have to get a handle on all these and get our arms around them. Figure out a more thoughtful, methodical way to deal with all of them. I think that's the intent, is that we get all of these gathered up and figure out what we're going to do with them as a whole. It's a good problem to have, frankly. I think that those of us who are interested in seeing more and better transit, particularly fixed guideway transit and transit corridors, come to the Twin Cities metropolitan area anticipated that this would happen someday and that this would be the new problem that we have, and we looked forward to having this problem. That's lots of folks then gaining interest and, frankly, folks starting to compete for the next. So I don't think it's a bad problem. It's a good problem, but we do have to deal with it. And so I think it would be, just to keep things moving because time is short, it would be wise to move your bill forward, figure out the technical fixes that we need to fix before next week, get everything moved up to the larger committee, deal with everything in one fell swoop. I know the counties themselves this morning had a conversation. They're interested in the Transit Waste Development Board and counties want to take a look at everything that's kind of out there and make sure everyone is in conversation with everyone else and that we proceed all together under some common framework, to Senator Olson's point, frankly, earlier. So why don't we go ahead and move your bill to the full committee as amended. Do you have a motion?
I'd like to move Senate file
658,
and refer to the full Transportation Committee.
As amended.
As amended.
Any questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Saltzman. Senator Wieger, thank you for your patience. I think we asked all the questions on Senator Saltzman's bills. All right, Senator Wieger, Senate File 1276.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, division members. Senate File 1276 seeks $476,000 or $460,000 for transit and transportation planning on the Highway 36 corridor. Highway 36, as most of you know, goes from Northeast Minneapolis, Roseville, to Maplewood on its way to Stillwater. And the particular area that's addressed here is from Highway 61 in Maplewood and then going to 694. About midpoint there is the world's largest snowman in North St. Paul. There's been a lot of development on this corridor, and there is transit that is nearby, dial-a-ride programs, etc., and the stage is set for more plans to be done in the future. And this is initiated from Washington County and Ramsey County. We have various witnesses, but I'd like to call on Mr. Rogers again to highlight a few items as to why we are here today.
Welcome to the committee once again, Mr. Rogers.
Thank you. Mike Rogers, transportation planner for Washington County. And as Senator Weir said, it is something that Washington County is very supportive, working with Ramsey County on this. And basically where it came from is that we've had an interregional corridor study done on 36 from 694 to the St. Croix River. We know what's going to be done for 36 needed improvements into the future from 35E to 35W, but there's this piece between 35E, kind of Trunk Highway 61, and 694 that is up in the air. And now with all the improvements in North St. Paul, We really need to figure out what's going on there. So that's really what the focus of this would be, while making sure that improvements identified for the highway would also be transit supportive. So it wouldn't be something where you're making a road that has a narrow shoulder so that you can't put the buses on the shoulder. It has things like the bus bypass lanes at the ramps, those kind of things. So it's really to look at what this section of 36 between two pieces that already have plans for them, what you could do with it and how to move forward.
Thank you. Any questions from the committee? All right. I think we have some of the similar technical issues to work through in the intervening week, but we'll figure those out as we move things along to the larger committee and then on to Senator Langseth's committee.
Thank you. And for the record, Mr. Chair, Commissioner McDonough and representatives of the county are here, Ramsey County, to show their support.
Great. Thank you. So would anyone like to move? Anyone have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move Senate File 1276 to be recommended to pass to the Transportation Committee.
All right. Any questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes. Thank you, Senator Wieger.
Thank you very much.
Right. Senator Larson. I'm sorry. Mine? Okay. Senator Larson, come. Welcome, Senator Larson, Senate File 378.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the Transit Division. We are excited to have the opportunity to be before you here today. And in fact, I had the opportunity last night to at least raise the discussion about Senate File 378 at your meeting last evening. And appreciate the opportunity for committee time today. I have with me that would like to testify on the bill Melissa Madison from the 494 Commuter Services and also Bloomington City Council Member Steve Elkins. And we have also, I know on the list, had Edina Mayor Jim Hovland. Given the weather, we think he is en route, but we're not sure. We haven't heard from him, so we hope he's fine. Mr. Chair and members, we're here to say that we need transit in the 494 corridor. And we're here... this has been a project that's sort of in the making now for some time with much local support. In the communities that are within the 494 corridor from Bloomington making its way west to Minnetonka are interested in having an increased planning mechanism in place for us to expand transit in the 494 corridor. It's something that we feel is far behind where we need to be at this time. And back up a second with our experience with the Hiawatha corridor, which concludes, the route concludes in Bloomington. And with the plans that we saw last night and that we see occurring with the Southwest corridor, we believe that there's incredible synergy that occurs connecting 494 to those two projects. And so our first choice, of course, would be light rail transit in that corridor, but we also understand that the first step is to do an alternatives analysis and get the data. And so we're here today, Mr. Chair and members, to ask for the state's help in us taking that first step. And we believe there's an incredible opportunity for transit in this corridor. Our communities are requesting it, asking for it, screaming out for it, if you will. I'm at this point, we'll ask our testifiers to add to my testimony, but I appreciate the opportunity to bring this bill before you and hope that we're able to make progress this year on this issue. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Larson. Welcome, Ms. Madison.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Larson, and good afternoon, Mr. Chair, committee members. As stated, my name is Melissa Madison, Executive Director of 494 Commuter Services, which is an employer outreach program of the I-494 Corridor Commission serving the six cities of Bloomington, Richfield, Edina, Eden Prairie, Minnetonka, and Plymouth. And several of you are familiar faces from the
hearing last night, and I'll keep my remarks brief, but I can tell you that several employers have said they've needed to hear about our services approximately 5 times in order to get their heads around all of the free resources and services that could serve their workforce culture. So hopefully this will be continue to be interesting. I appreciate the opportunity to share about the scope of our work and to encourage drive-alone commuters to use an alternative mode for their work trip, as well as to tell you about some of our key accomplishments. In 2002, the I-494 Corridor Commission studied mode share along the corridor and found 95% of the trips were taken by single-occupant vehicles, which led to the creation of 494 Commuter Services. 494 Commuter Services works with employers and property managers to reach employees and tenants with information about free resources and free services to personalize transit itineraries for people, showing how to get from their driveway to work using transit. We also customize carpool and vanpool matches to assist people in finding someone to share the ride with, and we provide free bicycle commuting information and teach bicycle commuting seminars to help people plan their best bike route. We provide a free commuting information display to any company that will put one in their employee break room. And to date, we have placed 200 commuting information displays with large employers. Each is customized for the individual employer with their bus routes that serve their work location. We have cultivated over 165 commute benefit coordinators with large employers along the corridor and multi-tenant properties. And just to name a couple for your information, Carlson Companies, Medica, Boston Scientific, Cargill, Supervalue, Toro, Mall of America, United Properties, Liberty Property Trust, Welsh Companies, and Carlson Real Estate are just a few of the companies that we work with on a regular basis where they welcome us in to reach their workforce about alternative commuting information. Each year, we conduct approximately 140 on-site commuter events with our large companies on the corridor. The one-on-one conversations we have at commuter fairs have led to thousands of drive-alone commuters converting to an alternative mode. In 2005 alone, we converted over 1,000 drive-alone commuters to transit, carpooling, vanpooling, or bicycling 3 or more days per week. And those 1,000-plus individuals represent over 9 million vehicle miles not traveled. We are in the process of surveying the folks that we assisted in 2006 and anticipate an even higher conversion rate based upon the number of people we reach this year. Many companies along the I-494 corridor subsidize alternative commute modes, including transit, carpooling, vanpooling, and even bicycling. The good news is employers are happy to promote alternative commuting information and even subsidize. The challenge is the lack of convenient transit service to many of our large employer locations along the I-494 corridor. We are still in the climate where existing transit service to our suburban work sites is eliminated, and there are several large employers in our cities who are not served by transit at all. We need more suburb-to-suburb transit options and additional reverse commute transit from Minneapolis out to the suburbs so transit can better compete with the automobile. I want to thank you for your time and your efforts to fund additional transit, and you have our commitment to promote it.
Thank you, Ms. Madison. Any questions from the committee? Welcome, Mr. Elkins.
Thank you.
Councilmember Elkins.
Yes. You guys have also probably, most of you heard from me a couple of times as well, so I'll also try and keep my comments short as well. My biggest concern about the timing, why I feel that this ought to be done now, is that right now MnDOT has basically set aside right-of-way in the median of 494 for the recently built sections and all new sections for a transit right-of-way, whether that be bus rapid transit or light rail transit. However, in none of their planning and in none of their interchange designs have they made any provision whatsoever for any kind of transit stations. And so, for example, in the 35W corridor, whereas it probably would have made a lot more sense to have the bus rapid transit station at American Boulevard, which is the east-west route that all of the buses run on in Bloomington, the preliminary or the early design for 35W494 interchange was made without any respect whatsoever to the inclusion of any kind of a transit facility, not even the replacement of the pathetic little transfer station that we have in the median at 82nd Street. And as a result, the design of the American Boulevard Bridge over 35W now precludes us from putting our bus rapid transit station in that location. That means that all of the east-west buses on American Boulevard are going to have to jog two blocks out of their way to the station on 82nd Street. It also means that that station is going to be an additional two blocks away from the most readily available land that is otherwise perfect for a transit-oriented redevelopment. So my worst nightmare is that the same thing happens at 494 and 100, 494 in France, and we wake up 10 years from now and we find that now the development density at all of these office nodes, Penn with Best Buy, 494 in France, the Lake Normandale area, we've now got the development density that's required to support transit in this corridor. We go back and say now it's time to start planning, except that freeway design decisions that have been taken in the interim effectively preclude any feasible alternatives, and we end up SOL. So the time to do this is now. We heard earlier today about how the Met Council is looking to do a more expansive, longer-range vision for their overall transit network for the region. Right now, the cities in the corridor, all the cities in the region, are redoing their transportation plans and land use plans as part of the Met Council's comp plan review process right now. All of those will be due in 2008. MnDOT is currently finalizing the design for intersections such as 494 and 35W, 494 and 100, 494 and 169. So it's time to catch them before all of their designs are cast in concrete and preclude the inclusion of transit stations in their designs. So there's a lot of things that if we start this process now, go through the same kind of a process that was done for the Cedar Corridor, the Southwest Corridor, that everything can line up and we can coordinate our land use plans, our transportation plans, both at the city, regional, and MnDOT level. I just hate to see us miss this opportunity.
Right. Thank you, Councilmember Elkins. Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I was trying to visualize, but not necessarily catching all of the detail of what you're envisioning. Some of these stations, but it's always puzzled me that the notion of saving space for transit in the middle of a freeway, you know, the inner lanes, because you know here you are a human being, you're riding along, and then you've got a station, and you get off. And all this traffic is whizzing by you. You're a block or two away from anything that's reality. And how do you get there? Unless you have an elevator up to another busy cross street, somehow it seems to me it would make more sense to have it be on the side or somehow separated from, rather than out in the middle of a freeway.
Well, I think
Senator Olson,
exactly.
I think that's part of. Yeah, I think that's part of the idea is perhaps to look at American Boulevard or 77th with Senator Elkins.
And that's exactly, if you look at the Cedar Avenue Transitway study or Southwest Transitway study, part of that study is to figure out what is the best way to configure both the transitway itself and the stations. 35W, if you've seen the design for the 46th Street station in 35W, there's actually a simulation of how that would operate online. I can actually forward, there's a link to it I can forward to the committee members. It's really cool, shows exactly how it would work. But you're right, if you're going to have stations like that, online stations in the median, which work really well for operations, then you have to take a great deal of care to how you connect that station in the median to the surrounding neighborhoods, and so the pedestrian connection is good. And I think Minneapolis is right in the middle of that with the respect to the 46th Street station, aren't they?
Correct, yeah. Yes, Councilmember Elkins, Senator Olson, the idea with the bus rapid transit up I-35, as it's presently envisioned, is, first of all, we're not taking away capacity. We're adding to capacity of the freeway and allowing for HOV use there. It would, the buses would, in most parts, go up the middle and where folks need to access those buses, there would be very, very nice stations in the middle of the freeway with elevators, and they would probably get to those stations by other surface transit. Most wouldn't be walking there. They'd take other buses to connect up with the express BRT and the 35W corridor. But I think some of the other, we talked about 394 on our way out to the hearing last night that Senator Bonhoff has in mind, and I don't think she's talking about putting that train down the middle of 394. I think what Senator Larson has in mind is more expansive, could go on American Boulevard or 77th, or, you know, if it makes sense to put it on the freeway in some way that doesn't detract from the operation of the freeway.
So, Mr. Chairman, you said Senator Bonhoff is planning?
No,
he's not. I'm just kidding.
Is not. Yeah. There's adjacent railroad right-of-way that can be used for that purpose. Senator Larson.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, I think that is exactly the point that we are we're really today wanting to take that first step to find out what the best options are in this corridor. Well, what we have consensus around now is we don't have a good plan for transit in the 494 corridor, and we need to coordinate, and we need to take that step forward because we see this as a really important corridor, not only to us locally, but to our entire region. And so the opportunity to do some of that planning, I think, is really critical. As we see a number of redevelopments that will occur along that corridor, there's a lot of things that are reliant on us having a good plan as it relates to the transit portion.
Great. Senator Bonhoff, then Councilmember Elkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First of all, I really appreciate Ms. Maxwell and Councilmember that you came back again today, had to brave through the snow last night and this morning, and I'm not tired of hearing either of you, and appreciate your commitment to transit, and am amazed at all the services you provide businesses, Ms. Maxwell. It's, Madison, I apologize. as we heard from the testifiers last night, what a difference you've made. And then when they were in companies where they didn't have that service, they noticed the absence of it. So thank you for that. And Senator Larson, Councilmember Hewitt last night expressed her disappointment that we have not publicly talked about the connection of 494 all the way up to Plymouth. And I noticed in your study here that you are stopping the study at the proposed Southwest Transit Way, and it occurred to me if we might consider amending that and considering that 494 corridor up through
Maple Grove,
yeah, exactly.
Well, Senator Mr. Larson. Chair and Senator Bonhoff, I think that I would consider that a friendly amendment. Where this really comes from is a lot of private conversations over the last, few years about the need to do something. And I think, the initial thought was we've seen the planning play out as it relates to Southwest Corridor. We've seen the success of Hiawatha, and those just ended up being some natural markers that we would make a connection. I think much more thought than that going into it. I'm not sure that it did, and it makes sense for us to study the entire corridor. And so I have no opposition to that at all.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, I think that 494 begins up there at that Maple Grove where you have that split with 94.
Right.
And so just as if you can go down, do the north and south and east and west just as long as you stay in Minnesota. And don't go across that state line.
Good point, Senator Olson.
So, Mr. Chair.
494 ends before the border anyway. I'm just kidding.
Mr. Chair, I would offer a oral amendment to say the Interstate 494 corridor transit way, keep all that the same, and then where it says to a transit station on the proposed Southwest Transit Way, I would delete that and insert to study the 494 corridor to the 94.
I think that the Maple Grove Transit Center and the shops at Arbor Lake would be a perfect terminus.
Well, that's actually on 690. Then it's 94. I mean, you could really say completion of 494.
Yeah.
To 494's completion. How's that, Senate Council?
Ms. Berzovsky.
Mr. Chair, I was going to propose to a transit station on I-94,
Mr. Chairman, another idea?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, since you have two segments, one is east and west and one is north and south, essentially, that you could interject the on the east-west to a transit station in the proposed southwest transitway, and then north to the a transit hub and to the ending of 494, or however you want to say it.
So say,
or at the to the intersection with 94.
Because of 494 inner.
So.
494
so
intersection.
Like do comma then northerly to.
Yes. Kind of has two right. segments.
Senator Berezovsky looks, or Ms. Berezovsky looks skeptical.
Mr. Chair, it's describing the corridor, so I don't think it's necessary to use directional terms, but to say, okay, on or near Interstate 494 from the airport. I mean, if you want to specify the intersection with the transitway, you can just leave all that there mm-hmm. and then add to I-94 or to its intersection with I-94.
To
its intersection with 90.
To its intersection with I-94.
That works for me. Does that work for you, Senator, Mr. Chair? Does that work for you, Senator Larson?
That works for me.
Okay. I'm slightly unclear, though. How would the full description read, then?
Mr. Chair.
Starting with line 8.
On an Interstate 494 corridor transitway, along a corridor on or near marked Interstate Highway 494 from Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport to a transit station on the proposed southwest transitway. Oh, I see. And continuing to its intersection with I-494.
Perfect.
Great. All right. Senator Larson.
That works for me, Mr. Chair.
All right. Senator Bonoff moves that oral amendment. Any questions from the committee or comments? All in favor of the amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes. All right.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sieben.
I just have a...
This doesn't come near the Union Depot.
I know, but I would like to point out, while I'm very supportive of Senator Larson's bill and the amendment that was just added, it seems to me that if we're going to begin studying 494, again, it's not... we need to look at the entire 494 loop. And, you know, perhaps... You know, I don't want to do this because I haven't talked to Senator Larson ahead of time, but perhaps we could look at extending it beyond the airport to the east so that it's not just strictly a western study, but it mm-hmm. encompasses both sort of the southern, everything south of 94 from wherever you just were talking about mm-hmm. all the way over to the intersection of 494 and 94, which is in Senator Saltzman's district. And I don't know what that does to your cost.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
If you just put in to the intersection of 494 and 94, there are two of those.
That's
one of them is on the west
point.
And one of them is on the east. Now, since we're not going to have directions in there, now they should be thoroughly confused and they should just expect that
all.
They've got to do the whole thing.
Senator Larson.
Well, Mr. Chair, and I think given that council used the word continuing, I think yeah. it would have just barely clarified that, but I had thought that same thing, Senator Olson, fully understanding that mm-hmm. there may be, you know,
okay.
certainly a lot of interest right. in the eastern direction of 494.
Okay.
You know, we feel very strongly about expanding transit all across our region. It's beyond what we intended with the original scope of the bill, but it's certainly not the intent mm-hmm. of this author to say that we should study my part of 494 and not someone else's. And so I would be open to studying the entire 494 corridor and believe that the studies will prove that we need more transit probably throughout the corridor. So I would find that to be a friendly amendment as well, Senator Sieben.
Senator Sieben, do you have a motion?
Sure. Perhaps council could help me with language here just because I think I didn't write down what the mm-hmm. last amendment did.
Um,
could probably, Mr. Chair, I would imagine the council could come up with language that could mm-hmm. make things quite a bit simpler since we don't have to describe the 494 corridor.
Mm-hmm. Want to take a stab at it? Or alternatively, we could, you know, we have a number of fix-ups to do on the other similar study bills that are going forward that, you know, that we'll have to deal with before next that we'll have to deal with next week. So do we want to work on, do you want to work with Senator Sieben and council between now and then?
I'd be happy to do that, Mr. Chair, and right. with a commitment to Senator Sieben that we will come up with language that we can all agree with.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
Is that agreeable, Senator Sieben?
Yes, it's fine
right.
with me.
Great.
Sounds good.
Excellent. All right. Why don't we move this bill forward then? All right. So, Vice Chair Bonoff will move the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that we approve Senate File 378 as amended and lay it over for possible inclusion in the and bring it to the transportation yep. full transportation committee.
All right. Any questions on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes.
Thank you, okay. Mr. Chair and members.
All right. Thank you, Senator Sieben, and thanks for Senator. I see Mr. Rogers. We delayed his departure. I apologize, Mr. Rogers. It's Mr. Rogers' day, and we're in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood. That's right. That was right. the joke earlier, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes. I tell him so, it was yours.
So, Senator Sieben, Senator Jungbar.
Mr. Chair and members of the Transit Subcommittee, I did a nice drawing on my little transitway system map of the. You see, notice the blue section at the top as we're talking about. Areas not studied or served. I'm going to hand this around so you can see that truly my district is not served, recommended on any study or anything else. So let's just look at that for possible inclusion in the future.
Perhaps we'll get you into the transit taxing district too, Senator Grumbauer.
When we get our wastewater treatment plant.
All right.
Yeah.
Because then we're going to need it. You won't be able to get out of my district.
Full Employment Act.
Senator Sieben, Senate File 351.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Senate File 351 is a bonding request for construction of a park and ride facility along the Red Rock Corridor Transitway, and it also provides additional money for, or it will provide hopefully additional money for study, a feasibility study of transit and transportation needs and pre-design and preliminary engineering for the Red Rock Corridor. And I believe there's a map being passed around. In the interest of time, I think everybody on the committee is fairly familiar with the Red Rock Corridor, but with me today to discuss this project, again, is Mike Rogers from Washington County and also Commissioner McDonough from Ramsey County. But perhaps first, before we go, move to that, could I please move the A1 amendment, which I'm not sure if it's been passed out.
Senator Sieben moves the A1 amendment. I'm just guessing what's an A1 amendment.
Mr. Chair and members, this amendment has similar language or the same language as was amended onto Senator Saltzman's bill, so it talks about the Union Depot instead of just St. Paul. Great. And then additionally, I just conferred with Peter Watson out in the hallway, and he recommended some additional language or clarifying language that gets back to this issue about the bonding for feasibility studies. So I'm happy to answer more questions if that's needed, but maybe members could look at the
So we'll take the second part, Senator Sieben, as an oral amendment?
Well, I wrote it on the, it's being passed around.
Oh, I see.
I just wrote
right.
it in.
Thank you.
And I apologize to the pages for having them copy about 14 different things today.
But I see we got passed out down there first. Okay, Senator Sieben moves the A1 amendment. Okay. And that deals with the subject of the Union Depot and use of bonding money for pre-design and preliminary engineering. Are there any questions on the amendment?
Question.
Senator Bonner.
Mr. Chair, just for my own information, so was that the difference, that if you were actually going to be doing something like the preliminary design or whatever, then you could use the bonds versus the feasibility study?
Yeah, it's that.
Mr. Rogers.
Senator Bonoff, Peter Watson explained it that, and there seems to be a little bit of confusion over this, but the way he explained it was that if the bonding money is going for the actual pre-design and the engineering for the project, as opposed to for a study of the transit project, that according to the Department of Finance is more acceptable. And why that's the case, I'm not able to answer. Well,
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, bonding is for capital projects, not for determining the feasibility of them. I think you do that with general fund money, and pre-design is considered a part of the actual capital project. It would seem logical. So it isn't as a part of a feasibility study. It's in place of. I think that's what you're proposing, that you're starting the pre-design with absent a feasibility study, unless you're figuring that there's some other effort that's coming from another direction to actually determine the feasibility of doing this.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olson, thank you for that clarification. You obviously said it better than I could.
So, well, in any case, we'll have to figure out, like I said, the package before we take final action in committee next week and send this on to Senator Langseth's committee. Any other questions on the amendment? All in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, no. All right. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Chair Dibble. Perhaps we could hear from Mike Rogers briefly.
Thanks, Senator.
Mr. Rogers.
Chair, Senate members. I guess the purpose of this is to look at the Red Rock Corridor, which has been before you many years now. It was initially studied as part of MnDOT's commuter rail feasibility study that the legislature directed MnDOT to do back in the late 90s and early 2000. It was identified as the second corridor after North Star for commuter rail. It made a lot of sense, so to go forward with it. And we've done a feasibility study on Red Rock. We're in the alternatives analysis right now. We've been before you to ask for money to do environmental design in previous years, and we've been fortunate enough to receive that along with federal funds to do the same thing. Studies take a long time. So as part of working through these study process, we've seen there's kind of been highs and lows within the commission and within staff itself about how to keep this corridor going forward. So one of the things we talked about amongst the commission members and staff is let's try and get stuff in place now, start building that ridership for the ultimate goal of a fixed guideway transit system in the corridor. There's Cottage Grove right now has a park and ride, but and it's right along the rail line, so it could transition easily between a commuter rail or a bus system in the interim. So we're looking at things to do these park and rides. Hastings could have the same opportunity. Could Red Wing have the same opportunity? I think so. Newport, same opportunity. So the thought process now is let's start getting some physical improvements in the ground, build that ridership to make it a more successful corridor as we go down the road. Plus, it makes a lot of sense now because in 2008, the city's comp plans have to be amended and updated. And to start identifying where these sites are now, getting them in place allows the cities to put those sites in their comp plan and to do the zoning and stuff around them so that they make them that much more successful. So that's really where the gist of this is coming from, along with knowing that Red Rock, there, as it mixes and matches with high-speed rail, which was before the committee before, the same corridor, that high-speed rail goes all the way to Chicago. That makes, as high-speed rail comes in, makes it a lot easier to have Red Rock become further and further down the road, so we need to figure out what the differences would be needed to go from Hastings to Red Wing, that kind of a piece.
So. Great, thank you, Mr. Rogers. Any questions for Mr. Rogers? No. Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Chair Dibble. Next, I'd like to, or the committee could hear from Commissioner Jim McDonough from Ramsey County.
Welcome back, Mr. Commissioner McDonough.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee. Jim McDonough, Ramsey County Commissioner. Ramsey County has participated in the Red Rock Corridor Commission from the very beginning. We've been a strong supporter of the Red Rock Corridor. We believe it's an integral piece to the transportation and transit system for the East Metro. Strong supporter. We believe that, as Mike has pointed out, that as this corridor has moved forward and evolved, it clearly is critical to take a look at the feasibility of extending this down into Red Wing. We all know these things take a long time in Red Rocks Park for a long time, and I think it's the timing is right to make sure that we'll, when we do get to the point where we're actually going to be operating in this corridor, we're doing it in the right manner. So Ramsey County supports this.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Commissioner McDonough? Senator Sieben.
Nope. All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The Dakota County Board is also fully supportive of this project, and Commissioner Myra Peterson from Washington County planned to be here today but was waylaid because of the snow. Additionally, Hastings Mayor Paul Hicks works over in the House, and he planned on being here but couldn't make it over. But we have a lot of great momentum along this route and a lot of support, and we certainly would appreciate the legislature's support.
Excellent. Mr. Shetnan, were you wanting? No. All right. All right. Getting ready. All right. Ready to jump up. Excellent. You know, I've failed once again to ask if anyone from the audience wanted to testify on the previous bills or this bill. So is it anyone from the audience want to testify on this bill? Nope. Anything further from the committee? All right. Senator Sieben, do you have a motion?
Mr. Chair and members, I move that Senate file 351 be recommended to pass to the full Transportation Committee as amended.
All right. All in favor of the Sieben motion, I'll say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Motion passes.
Thank you.
All right. Before I go up, is there anyone who would like to speak on Senate file 658, 1276, or Senate file 378 in the audience? Anyone? Nope. Okay.
So while we're waiting for Senator Dibble to get ready, for those of you who were not at the Minnetonka hearing last night, I just wanted the members and the people here to know that we did have about 100 people at the transit hearing, and it was very successful. And those of you I see in the audience who were there, again, thanks for coming out to Minnetonka in the snow. And our staff made it out there, so thank you. Okay, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, and Madam Vice Chair, you did a stellar job chairing the event last night and making your presentation.
Thank you, Chair Dibble.
All right, Madam Chair, we have Senate File 1111 before us. And my next three bills, just for the committee's information, are agency bills coming from the Metropolitan Council. Senate File 1111 make some changes to All right. Why don't we start off with the author's amendment? Which one is this? Oh, it's deleting 7. I think it's an oral amendment, Madam Chair. We're going to.
It's written. It's A1.
Mr. Chair.
Oh, it has been drafted. Okay.
We have it. It's the A1 amendment.
Madam Chair, we're not going to deal with the matter of the TAB membership changes, and so we're just going to delete Sections 1 and Section 7.
Delete. So your amendment is
simply
to delete
Section 1, which you find, of course, on page 1, and Section 7, which you find on page 5. This deals with the appointment of the chair of the Transportation Advisory Board, and we're not going to deal with that, so we're just going to delete it.
Very good. So do you want to make a motion with regard to?
Yes, I move the A1 amendment, Madam Chair.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
Okay. Madam Chair, why don't I just have Mr. Shetnin take us through the bill.
Thank you, Chairman Dibble, and thank you, committee members. I'd like to point out one thing real quickly. I'm very excited that the committee is spending so much time talking about the different transit ways and transit. I think it's fantastic as one of the main transit planning organizations here in the metro area, and that we're excited that there's so much excitement over this. I wish Senator Sieben were here because last night at the council meeting, we approved as part of final design that we'll be looking at the Union Depot as both the terminus for the Central Corridor at both the 4th Street and at the concourse. I know that there are many members of this body who are interested in the terminus going to the concourse. We at the council would like to look at the terminus being discussed either at 4th Street, either at the concourse, and letting preliminary engineering figure out where the terminus will be. But we heard it loud and clear what the legislature and what the body was looking at. So we are looking at that as part of preliminary engineering. We're not making any promises, but we do have to go through this process. And we included that as part of the our preliminary engineering.
Thank you, Senator Olson.
Could you? It's been said many times, and I can't visualize when it says to the concourse. What are you talking about? I can't visualize it at all.
Mr. Shetland.
I remember the trains usually coming down at maybe possibly a different level than something else. Is this? I don't know. What is it?
Madam Chair and Senator Olson, the concourse is back behind the Union Depot. It's where the different rail, heavy rail, comes into there, and this would bring the Central Corridor LRT right into that. Because right now, the way that they have on 4th Street, would pull in front of the Union Depot, and then you'd walk through the depot to get to the kind of the exchange. You'd use it as a depot. Would you have the different lines coming together?
Thank you.
And we are very open to studying that, and I think we always have been. But we just wanted to let the legislature and the Senate and this committee in particular, who have made this point to me many times, that they'd like to have that looked at. So we are doing that. So
thank you, Mr. Shetland, and we will let Senator Sieben know.
great. Well, thank you. To move on to Senate File 1111, and the reason why we're here is the council's asking the legislature to allow us to do two things. The first thing that you'll find is in Section 2 of the bill, and we're asking to modify performance audits of the region's transportation system. Current legislation requires that these performance audits be done every 4 years by an independent entity. What we're proposing is that the legislature allows the council staff to perform these audits, and one of the reasons why is because we'd like to sequence these audits so that they're done prior to revisions of our transportation policy plans. Our transportation policy plans are required every 4 years by federal law, so we're just trying to get these streamlined a little bit better, allow the council to do them. We will still have a peer review done by an independent organization, so rather than having an independent organization do it, we feel we can do this better. We can save some time, we can save some money, and we can sequence these correctly so that whatever we determine through these performance audits can be looked at and included in our updates of our transportation policy plans, which is very relevant to the discussion that the committee has been having today. The second section of the bill allows us to clarify some of the original requirements of our Metro Mobility Service, which is our paratransit service. These changes are found in sections 3 through 6 of the bill. They're very simple changes. I know that that representatives from the paratransit community have contacted Senator Dibble this morning and have expressed, I don't think, some concerns, but they have some issues they have some, I shouldn't say concerns. They're looking at what we're doing. We talked to them this morning. They're not here to oppose that. we're willing to sit down and work with them prior to this bill passing out of the full committee just to clarify anything. I don't think that there are any problems, and if you have any specific questions, we have Jerry Sutton, who runs our Metro Mobility program here. However, most of these, honestly, are very housekeeping and technical. So I'll stand for questions if you have any, or else I'll invite Jerry to come up if it's really technical.
Madam Chair, there's a letter that I had distributed to members of the committee from the Minnesota State Council on Disability that outlines their concerns more specifically, so members can read that at their convenience. It is my intent, with the consent, of course, of the committee, to move the bill forward. But before we take any final action on it, that we deal with the concerns of the disabilities community.
Senator Dibble, I was concerned when I saw that language because, as we heard last night and at all of the town hearings we've been at, those people get up and talk about that it's their lifeline. And so I'm concerned that even if we don't mean it to diminish the services, that we're sending us a signal to them that is going to cause them concern where really it might not be necessary. So could you explain why you think that's necessary when these people who are so dependent on this can read it and think that they're not going to be able to get where they need to go? And I think we're doing a great job with the service, so why the change?
And Senator Bonoff and members, I think I'm going to invite Ms. Sutton to come up before the committee to explain this, but these are very, very technical changes. I think they would just like some clarification rather than opposing this, but Ms. Sutton can speak to that.
Ms. Sutton.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, I think that...
Could you state your name for the record?
Jerry Sutton, Metropolitan Council.
Thank you.
I think that the changes we are proposing really help us align better the reality of the way service is delivered today.
Can you pull the mic a little closer to you?
Yes.
Thank you.
I think that the changes help us align better the reality of the way the service is delivered today with what is in the state statute. I think that when this statute was created, it envisioned a slightly different service model, and that was a brokerage system, and where the council would really be at arm's length from the direct delivery of service. And of course, that is not the service model that we use today. We directly administer the program, and so we are very involved in the delivery of service on a daily basis. So I think that the language changes really help clarify the way service is delivered today.
Madam Chair.
Senator Dibble.
And I apologize to the committee. It's not my intent to repeat committee work. That's the reason we have a subcommittee, is to work these things out. I don't frankly understand. I did not do my due diligence in reaching out to the disabilities community before this bill was brought up. Mr. Shetland tells me that there was a conversation with the Advisory Council on Disabilities, and there was not an understanding of any problem at that point. But nevertheless, the letter has shown up. In deference to the process, we'll move this bill out of this committee with the consent of the subcommittee, or if they don't want to, that's up to the committee. But this bill won't go anywhere until I'm satisfied that the disabilities community, has worked things out and is comfortable, or we'll create some changes and we'll either refer it back to the subcommittee or do the committee work over again in full committee, which I'm sure won't make Chair Murphy very happy, or the bill will just, we'll come back to it next year.
Thank you, Senator Dibble, because I echo that concern and am concerned about the cost efficient. There's no definition what is cost efficient, and does that put those people at risk? And so I trust that you will work that out. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Shetland.
Madam Chair, I concur 100% with Senator Dibble. It is not our intention to ever come before the committee or the body with work that isn't complete. We did extend this to the paratransit community. We have discussed this with them. We were not given a copy of this letter this morning, and we had talked to them. We talked to them yesterday. We talked to them this morning. Let them know if there were any problems, that we'd be happy to sit down and work this out. And it is without a doubt that we will have this cleared up in short order. So I apologize to Senator Dibble and the members that this letter was a surprise to us, as well as Mr. Browse can state, because he showed it to me right when we walked in.
So thank you.
Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, you'll see the time on the letter. I mean, it showed up literally minutes before the committee, so came to as a surprise to all of us. So.
Thank you.
So, Madam Chair, I would move Senate file, unless there's any further, Senate file 1111 as amended be recommended to pass and refer to the, actually, Madam Chair, I would like to move no recommendation and this be passed to the full Committee on Transportation.
Thank you. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
All right. Madam Chair, Senate File 1163 requests some changes to some of the Metro Transit Police statutes. Madam Chair, what this does is it has to do with transit police jurisdiction with respect to offenses that relate to Metro Transit property, equipment, employees, and passengers. Modifying some jurisdictional provisions, cooperation with other local law enforcement agencies, clarifying Metro Transit Police to do some enforcement on our rail lines, allowing the Metropolitan Council Police to benefit from some of their efforts in the seizures of. A property that's used in the commission of crimes, and some other things that I'll let Mr. Shetman expand upon.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Senate File 1163 does exactly what Senator Dibble just said. What I'd start with is that this bill has been reviewed by the chiefs of police of both Minneapolis and St. Paul. Minnesota Chiefs of Police Association, the State Patrol, and the Minnesota Sheriff's Association, and they all have agreed that this bill is in good form and that they have no problem with us bringing this forward to you. What it does is that it does clarify some jurisdictional things for our transit police if it's dealing with enforcement of the MinPass lane out in 394. It also gives our transit police the jurisdiction to enforce operations on the North Star commuter rail line when that comes on board. And then the other thing is that it does is it just adds the transit police to the list of law enforcement agencies that are able to seize property that they will come as part of a bust that we make. I think this is a fairly straightforward bill. I know our chief, Dave Andreas from Metro Transit, is in the audience and can speak to any questions that you may have, but the bill is pretty straightforward, and I can maybe answer any questions you may have as well.
Madam Chair, I can speak enthusiastically to this bill. I think we all know that we have the occasional public safety issue and or perception of public safety issues on buses, on trains, at bus stops and transit stops and the like, and I think to the extent that we can help with the enforcement aspect of it, the better off we are. I have a particular interest, of course, in downtown Minneapolis on 7th Street and places like that are infamous, notorious for some of the activities that are going on in and around the bus shelters. Additionally, I think it just makes sense that, if this agency is going to the effort and making arrests, doing investigation, making arrests, that there, there'd be some incentive, some motivation, some benefit, and that's the seizure piece.
Very good. Any questions? So do you have another witness to testify or no? Okay.
Only folks that had technical questions, Madam Chair, or other kinds of questions. Madam Chair, I move Senate File 1163 be recommended to pass and referred to the full Committee on Transit.
And is there anyone from the audience who wishes to testify on this bill? Or I did not ask actually about the other one, but I'll deal with that after. Okay. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed. Anyone from the audience would like to come forward and testify on the bill we just heard, 1163? Okay, very good. Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I have Senate file 1164. And Madam Chair, I'd like to start with an oral amendment. What are we changing it to?
Line 1.11632.
So on line 1.11, we would change 33,600,000 to 33,200,000. Madam Chair, I make that motion.
All in favor of the A1, the oral amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
Madam Chair, this is the bonding authorization for the Metropolitan Council to do its capital improvements for the transit system. That's, of course, you know, all the hard things, you know, the buses, the park and rides, the garages. Repairs that rise to the level of capital expense and equipment. It's our local match that we need to provide for federal transit funds, also funds projects that are not federally eligible. This also serves, it's not just for Metro Transit, but it serves the suburban transit providers as well, all the folks who are providing transit in the region. This is the annual authorization that the legislature provides for the sale of bonds. And these are, there's a perception that no regional property taxes go for transit. That's not actually true. There are no regional property taxes other than for the Hiawatha Light Rail that go for transit operations. Hennepin County pays for half of that. But there does remain a levy for transit capital in the metropolitan area. What traditionally were the opt-out communities are levied for this purpose, and they receive a, is that right? They receive the proportion that they received from the opt-out proceeds previous to the conversion to the system we have now.
Mr. Shannon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and again, thank you, Senator Dibble, for carrying this bill. This is a bill we bring to the legislature every year. This bill generally goes to the tax committee after this and is included as part of the public finance bill. Again, these bonds are used not just for Metro Transit, but it's for the opt-outs. It is for the community-based programs throughout the region. Again, these funds are collected through the transit taxing district, and on the second page of your notes is the slide that I presented to the full transportation committee earlier this year when we went through how Metro Transit and Metropolitan Area Transit is funding, and this is really one of our main sources for how we replace our bus fleet, how we build garages, how we do bus shelters. I mean, this is an ongoing request every year, and I know that Mr. James Clark, who represents the Suburban Transit STA, is here, and he would like to speak to the bill as well. So,
just a question, Mr. Shetton. Senator Dibble referred to the federal match. What is the match?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You'll see on the page 3 of the handout that I gave you, there are asterisks next to a number of the projects. What these are, it means that they are expected to be federally matched. I'm not quite sure what the match is. It may vary from project to project, but Arlene McCarthy, who is the director of our MTS, is here, and I'm going to let her explain that to you real
briefly. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. Arlene McCarthy with the Metropolitan Council. Yes, as Mr. Shetton was saying, on the list of projects that we have, several of them have an asterisk in the right-hand column, and that means that there is a federal source of funding also going to these projects, and then we have listed the the local regional transit capital portion, which would be the federal or the local match to that federal. For these types of projects, a minimum 20% local match is the norm for this. You might, when we talk New Starts projects, that's a 50-50. That is one difference. But for these very maintenance type things, it's a minimum 20% local match.
Thank you. Very good. Mr. Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Dibble, for carrying this very important legislation. The Suburban Transit Association enthusiastically supports this. As has been mentioned, this is the money that's used for bus replacement, park and rides, and other facilities. Madam Chair, having said that, the Suburban Transit Association would encourage in the future that the legislature ask for an even greater amount of authorization, because this amount doesn't quite meet the current needs, let alone the future demand for capital. Just as a historical reference, in 2002, the legislature authorized $54 million in regional bonding. In 2003, $45 million in regional bonding. In 2004, there was no regional bonding authorized, and in 2005, it went up to $64 million, and last year was $32.8 million. So again, we're very supportive of this. We appreciate it very much. We appreciate the Metropolitan Council's leadership on this. But in the future, we'd really like to see it be even a larger number in order to meet the demand. And Senator Dibble mentioned, and I think there was other folks mentioned, this is the annual request to the legislature. From the Suburban Transit Association's position, it would be wonderful if this could be, instead of a yearly, if the Metropolitan Council could come every 2 years. I think it would provide for better planning as we're looking at the different projects throughout the region. So that's just a suggestion as we move forward.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Senator Olson.
Madam Chair, I've never heard of tire leasing. Is that financially advantageous to just buying new tires when you need them?
Mr. Senator Bonoff, Senator Olson, this is something that we do, and I think I'm going to turn to the experts who can explain how we go about leasing tires and who we lease them back to then.
Lease them back?
I mean, who we give them back to after we've run their...
We get them.
Yeah. Who's interested in having them back? But here, I'll ask Ms. McCarthy to come up and address this as well.
Ms. McCarthy.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I'm going to tell you, as much as I know about this, this is really in the nitty-gritty maintenance arena. I do know that Metro Transit, for example, basically contracts, and I think it's with Goodyear, but that probably changes from time to time as they rebid the work. But literally a private vendor works inside the garages and has all responsibility for the tires on the fleet. So they are kind of part of the maintenance team, and they're responsible for changing out the tires. They bring in the tires, and then I think they take the tires back when they've had their useful life. And it's pretty much managed by that company, the tire operation. But they do have their folks working in our garages where the buses are maintained and kept.
And Madam Chair, that is... financially a better arrangement than owning and trying to keep track of all of that, just contracting that whole entire business out.
Madam Chair.
Ms. McCarthy.
In essence, they are contracting it out, and the contractor just resides there at the bus garage. And there are, I'm sure they've done a pretty good financial job, and they have found that to be a good operation.
That's
for
interesting.
Them.
Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Dibble.
Well, Madam Chair, what I think they do is they take them back and they paint them white and sell them as flower pots.
Very creative, Senator Dibble.
I've got several in my front yard. So, Madam Chair, if there are no more questions, and also just noting that I appreciate former Representative Clark's comments, I will take those under advisement, although I miss his Clark bars. He was always required to bring Clark bars to committee when I served
yeah,
in the
I've
House whenever
that.
He had to present a bill. Yeah.
Madam Chair, I think that's the second second time the chair has mentioned that. So
yeah.
We'll get on.
Please, Mr. Clark.
So I will move Senate File 1164 as amended to be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee.
Any discussion on that motion? All in favor, aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Motion is passed.
So, Madam Chair and members, some announcements. We allegedly have a hearing tomorrow at 9 o'clock to hear the Transit 2020 bill. However, I will take a poll of members to see if they think that's a good idea or a bad idea, and also we'll talk to the advocates to see if they're even able to be here. So we'll figure that out this afternoon in consultation with the committee and the bill advocates and the bill chief author, and stay tuned. Mr. Brouse will be in communication with you. And then I think what we need to do is probably pull ourselves together again next week sometime. We haven't figured out when is best to hear all the various funding proposals and put together the finance portion of the full transportation bill. That will be our task next week, is to pull together a proposal to recommend up to the full committee that will be included in Senator Murphy's finance bill. So stay tuned on that.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, please, everybody drive very safely.
Madam Chair, I heard Senator Fredrickson said at noon he'd gotten a call from his wife that they had shut down all state highways. Now, I don't know if that was down in the southern part of the state, but I presume something's still moving here in the metro area. We're kind of oblivious to it sitting down here.
I haven't had a chance to check in on what's going on outside these walls. So yeah, I've been under the Transit Subcommittee cone for a while. So
right.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. Meeting adjourned.